This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shahi Muhammad.
And I am Mac Miller
in the building. What's happening?
You know, just glad to be back. Very excited. I couldn't even sleep last night.
You mean back in L.A.?
Yeah. Okay. Back on the road, back doing music professionally. Doing music.
How's it feel to be back?
It's good. It was a little scary at first, but, you know.
Is it like Cheers when, you know, Norm walks in? It's like he walks in, he's back. Norm.
Yeah, I never watched Cheers, actually.
Sorry, I'm dating myself.
No, but I, no, you know, it's like you just jump and then, you know, everything's good. It's been great to just release the album. There's no better feeling in the world, you know.
It's been a long time. I forgot. That muscle's sleeping.
I mean, hey, 2 years, I forgot too.
How's it going?
It's been going well. You know, it's been like, I find myself actually, the reception of it doesn't affect me as much. It's all been very positive though. Maybe if it was all negative, it would affect me more. But, but like, I find myself just really enjoying the moment, you know what I mean? Like, less about like reading these reviews, you know, front to back or going through comments and more like just like happy to have something out and to be touring. I had a show in Pittsburgh and sold out 5,000, and that was like an amazing feeling to be home.
Yeah,
we did a little like Mayor Mac Miller. Hometown hero. No, we did this the whole thing in Pittsburgh, which was cool, because Pittsburgh doesn't get a lot of stuff like that.
How often do you perform in Pittsburgh?
Not, I mean, every tour, you know, but this is my first tour in 2 years, really. Like, I've done shows here and there and spot dates, and I've done, like, little runs, but this is my first solid tour that I've had since the space migration.
Did you start the tour in hometown?
Yeah, so basically it's like the album release shows, which are like all intimate venues other than Pittsburgh, which was like a 5,000. But like the LA show is like 1,200, and then we're doing a New York one that's 500, another New York one that's like 600. And then some Europe ones that are like around the same, which are like my favorite because it's all people that know every word. Mm. And I love those shows.
Do you have like the ultimate, you might have already accomplished this, but everyone has that hometown venue that it's like, when I make it, you know, that dream of one day, if I make it, when I make it, and when I make it, I'm gonna play here.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
Yeah, but not on my own.
Okay.
Wiz and I did the Post Gazette Pavilion, which was like huge. That was like 26,000 people.
What's so special about it?
It's just like, well, growing up in Pittsburgh, there wasn't a lot of venues, right? There's a Shadow Lounge, which I played at. This is where I came up in. It was like the smaller hip hop / jazz venue. And then they made Stage AE, which is like there's an indoor that's about 2,500 and outdoor that's 5,000. I've done both of those. But then like the big concerts were at Post Gazette Pavilion, which might be called Star Lake now, or it used to be Star Lake now, whatever it is. I call it Post Gazette Pavilion. And, it's just like this huge lawn where if like anyone big came through, that's where they go. Like Wayne. I guess now they have the Console Energy Center too, but I want to do the Post Gazette Pavilion.
So you played there with Wiz.
Right.
And it felt kind of like I'm almost there.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like the fans definitely all were there for both of us. You know what I mean? It was like crazy.
So next time, it's the big target is you headlining, basically.
Right, for sure.
All right.
Was that, you know, we got a little bit to go, but who knows? You never know. But I mean, it was an amazing feeling just because that's a venue that I don't think I ever even dreamed of. Mm. Like, I never even saw that as possible. Like, other things, I'm like, yeah, I'll do that, but not Post-Gazette Pavilion.
What did you think was going to be, like, the peak? Where were you going to max out? And why?
You know, I also, at the same time, I also got kind of spoiled because when I first came out, there was this thing in Boston called the Boston Urban Music Festival that they don't do anymore, because I'll tell you in a second, but, and it's a free show that they did at City Hall in Boston. And this is when I was doing shows that were like 300, 600 cap, you know, like, so it wasn't, it was like, whatever, I went to do it, and the record for the most people that had ever gone there was like 25,000 or something, and we had 25,000 people there 4 hours before I went on stage. By the time I hit the stage, it was 60,000 people, and like, they had to shut the police department down, they had to shut the public transportation, there were people standing in garages, and we didn't even have a tour team. It was just me and a couple of my friends. I didn't have security. So, like, we literally were just, like five dudes, like, 60,000 people. My homie that was selling merch at the time literally had to run through the crowd holding merch. So, where did I think I would max out? After that, I was hoping to maybe, I don't know, hit the garden. But no, I don't know. I mean, like,
why did that happen?
I don't know.
How did you not know that was gonna happen?
Because I mean, this is when I had like
what
just
year?
Put out Kids. This is 2010.
Okay.
So like, I was touring, but like, nothing to that capacity. But you know, the mayor actually like wrote me a letter, like saying like, you know, we'll never do that again. So,
did you write back saying it wasn't my fault?
I wrote back like, I'm down for the House of Blues. But no, you know, I think every level you get to seems like the top. You know, you're like, oh, I'm here. Man, maybe one day I'll get there, but I'll never get here, you know? But, I don't know, nothing ever ceases to amaze me. You know, like, I don't think I've ever came out to a show, whether it be 600 people or 60,000, and I've never been blown away by people's reaction to the music. It's always like, whoa. Unless no one cares, and it's like, aw.
I wanted to ask you and Ali about that a little bit, about like having people like you so much and then having to deal with people like surprising you with their like and their want to talk to you.
Well, let me also just add that I've had both sides.
Okay.
I used to like pay $50 to perform at Super Hood Clubs in Pittsburgh for two people that had their back to me. Mm. Or like perform for 10 people that were just the rapper's friends that were on the stage. But at first,
what did you learn from that?
That is the hardest performance you'll ever do.
Yeah.
You know, like performing 60,000 people, that's easy. It's like the energy's already there. They're already doing most of the work. All you got to do is not forget the words, and like feed them energy too. But performing for two people who are just trying to get a drink and don't even know why there's someone performing, is like, that's really, it's like performing at like a sweet 16 birthday party. It's like it's not fun. You know, it's like, it's awkward. I don't know what it is. Maybe because you're more vulnerable. You're like, you're not on a pedestal at that point. You're like, just, it would be like if I did a whole set in here right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're just all sitting here. So you're, when you're masked by 60,000 people, you're like, you're not even real. You're just like a presence. But with 10 people, after you get on stage, off stage, they can just go grab a drink with you after.
Yeah, you have to prove yourself, like, every minute. Yeah. You can't just...
And they're not trying to do this at all. There's no hands up and down. It's all, like, you know... Like, I just did a show like that in Aspen at Belly Up, where it's, like, a bunch of people who are, like, sitting down having a drink. And it's, like, when you're playing music, right? Like, if I, like, was with a jazz band, it's different. Because, like, you're just performing. But, like, doing a hip-hop show for that, it's, like, about movement and getting people to, like... almost a religious experience. So people are just sitting there having a drink. You're kind of like, this doesn't, you guys aren't like dancing?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I just had that experience even DJing recently. And I think I kind of wrote about it on Tribe's 25th anniversary, the official day. And the night before, I was DJing at the Lion Hotel, and there was barely anyone in there. And I felt like, why am I here? Because am I connecting? And even, well, it's a hotel. First of all, I got to set up. It's a hotel lounge. So already that right. The vibe is already half the
yeah.
Come dance with me vibe is not.
No.
It's non-existent.
It's let's have a scotch.
Yes, exactly. So that went against me. And then... it was just an off night, I guess. I'm finding Thursday nights in L.A., I don't know. Maybe I'm not doing enough on the promotion side. But anyway, there weren't many people there, and I was like, why am I playing? What's going on? I need to connect.
Yeah.
And so I did play, like, one song that was way off, and knowing that people were sitting down and drinking and talking, I just wanted to see if they would check in. And I got a look over, so I was like, oh, somebody's half listening. But, yeah, it made me feel a way, and I wrote about it.
So. Well, it's like doing DJ sets is, like, it's difficult to me because you have to find that happy medium of playing what the crowd wants and what you want. Like, I had this little party for my album. And did two nights I did DJ sets. And the first night, I'm just playing songs I wanted to listen to. I'm like, I just dropped my album tonight. Like, you know, let me just play songs I want to listen to. And my girlfriend actually came up to me and was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just, I don't know, it's a good Pharrell song. I don't know, it's, like, it's classic. And she was like, do you see the people out there? I was like, yeah, I'm just playing my song. She's like, you're not moving them. Play some Nicki and Beyonce. Play Feeling Myself. And I was like, and I was trying to be like all like pride about it. Like, no, like I don't take requests, you know? But then I was like, all right, fine. And I played it. And of course, all the girls in the crowd are like, ah, start dancing. So I guess it's that happy medium.
I guess we both have our struggles. Do you ever find yourself, like, after performing for 60,000 people and going back to your hometown where I'm sure you're well-received and loved, do you find that in more of an intimate setting, because you mentioned it a moment ago, that are you a type of person where you can just comfortably, like if we were in a room right now, just, you know, like perform and maybe not necessarily to perform, but the joy of just, like,
yeah, I mean, I can make, like, create, right? If there's music, I like to make music whenever, and I could sit and perform. I think it's just different when it's, like, it's just, like, the setting and the vibe that you're catching. I'm, like, I'm a real dude that, like, I go off the vibes very strongly. So, like, if I come out, that's why I like smaller crowds, because it's just like you could just feel it. So, you know what I'm saying? From like the every single person, they're just sweaty. It's everyone's jumping. They had to get the tickets. They had to buy them 5 minutes after the link was announced. You know, like they're like, it's ready. And then I think performing, I used to do it all the time. People that had no idea who I mm-hmm. didn't care. And I used to get off on that. Was like to like, convert people, but then you get spoiled.
How about, okay, so let's tie this in a little bit. You have the new album, Good AM,
right?
you're performing it for the first time, people might have heard or right. may not be familiar. How does that feel?
Would you change? I think you change the performance, because there's two, to me, there's two ways to do it. You either hit it from an energy standpoint, where like all you're trying to do is create energy. You want people to jump around. You want people to put their hands in the air. You want people to not think. You want people to just like, you know, lose their minds. And then say I come out and people don't know the records, and they're less likely to do what I just said. So you switch gears to, you want them to hear what you're saying then, you know? It's like, okay, if you don't know these songs, then I want to give you a good experience with the songs. It's going to be less like screaming and, you know, just jumping around and being a psycho, where like, let me like dial back and have like what I'm saying stand out front and how I'm saying it, less than like just pure unadulterated energy.
Any reaction, immediate reaction on some of the new songs?
I had one show, but I ended up performing the album like 3 times off of just intoxication. Because I had 2 nights previous where there were like parties for like to celebrate the album, and I would like have a couple whiskeys and be like, I'll perform. Who cares? And then like I'd have like crappy MP3 versions that had like that weren't even the album cuts of the songs. I'd be like, I wanna do the song, let's do it. So you find it, yeah, people don't know them as well. But I think with this album, people have caught on faster. You know, like 100 Grandkids, people know, right? But then a song like Perfect Circle, which is more of like an album cut, they don't know as well. But I mean, I personally am good. I like performing these songs just because they're still fresh for me.
Yeah.
You know, so like I'll take performing Perfect Circle to people sitting there watching over performing Donald Trump to a bunch of people jumping, just because I've done that so many times.
Just go and get yourself a weapon and a guard. I need some coffee, everybody's sleeping on me. Going round door to door, setting off alarms. All that horse shit, you should've left it at the barn. Keep a stallion, tell her gallop to the store and get cigars, yeah. Too many whips, gotta get a new garage made. I might steal one just to drive it in a car chase. Me and my bizarre ways. I moved up from a private to a sergeant. You can see it from the scar face. Hidden in a dark place, swimming in the shark tank. Give a bitch a little bit of change. She a game in an arcade. Not a second to lose. I'm the motherfucking Bible, that's forever the truth. And this is not another case of the celebrity blues. The devil whip me and he tell me to shoot. What would you do?
Have you ever had a hurt?
Just for something to do.
What is a perfect circle?
It doesn't exist, right?
I don't know.
I would say that it's something that, man, from what I understand, it's like a person can't, you couldn't take with your free hand, take a pencil and draw a perfect circle. It's impossible to do. Isn't it?
By hand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Without a protractor.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, what is that thing?
Wait. Unless, see, this is like one of those trick question type of things. Unless you're tracing it.
Right, if you're tracing it.
But
not even.
But it's, yeah.
If you
freehand it.
No way. It's impossible.
You say in there, heaven is a mile away and hell is much closer.
Yeah.
And to me, it sounds like it's a conversation of conscious.
Yeah.
So,
I think I think it's like the idea of like that almost that we're taught by religion or all that is that, you know, to get to heaven is like this so much work, right? But it's so easy to fall into like, you know, a negative life, quote unquote. So I think I think what's thought of is like to be saved or whatever, to live sin free is like, you know, that's a tall order.
Is it like as impossible as
it's a perfect circle. Perfect circle. Yeah, exactly.
So in the song, who are you trying to wake up, and what is work, and why do we have to get up to work?
You know, I think it's like, I think it's almost like you're waking yourself up, right? You're like deciding like, cause to me, like that mood, that place, that imaginary place, it's like the dream world, right? What I always look at it as my Harold and the Purple Crayon, you know, like just, have you ever read that book?
No.
That was my jam.
Yeah, so Harold and the Purple Crayon is like, it's like a kid who has this little crayon and he draws his reality, right? So, to me, that's like, that was a place that I feel like I was in. Mm. My brother actually dubbed me that. My brother said, you're like Harold and the Purple Crayon, that's how I see you. And then I think, like, why that's the transition into, like, when in Rome, I believe it is, right? That's where it goes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why that's the transition into that is because, like, it's that moment where you wake up and you go just back to work, which is, like, just reality. You know, every day is that work. And then when in Rome, to me, it's just, like, this aggressive, like, I'm gonna, like, let's just go. Like, no, let's not think. Like, less thought. And I think, like, that's where you get trapped in so much. Living insular is, like, thought. And, like, what does this mean? What does that mean? Why am I doing this? Why am I here? Which are all important questions to ask, but it's just as important to just, like, shut up and live. Mm. Me, personally, it was for me. Like, so just to go, and it's, like, and it's okay to feel yourself a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. It's healthy.
Yeah. 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 Huh. All the freaks coming out when it's sun down. Hating on it, I don't give a f now. Woo. Bad little bitch with her tongue out. Told her go along, it's a touchdown. Do this for the city and the state. Bustin' better bring me to the safe. Want it right now, I ain't really tryna wait. No. Got me on trial, but I'm beating that case. Stay it in my face, stay it in my face, motherfucker. Going
stay it in my face.
Trippin' now, everything's straight. Rappers all wanna drop it now, they can even get a date. Woo. Feeling great and I'm in here. If you got a problem, don't stand here. In the middle of the ocean, see the land there. In the helicopter, fucker, we gon' land here. On the shelf with a rack hat. I'm just trying to go and see the Coliseum. When I die, they better build a mausoleum. I don't got time, bitch, I'm high in a secret. I don't got time, bitch, I'm high in a secret. Everybody and their mother wanna rap now. Tell them cut a check for a young and I'ma cash out. Walking in the back, go to the pad town. All my shit, you can borrow my bitch, give her back now.
Right now,
I'ma need that.
Right now,
give her back now.
Right now,
I'ma need that.
Right.
Came up from the gravel to the mother castle. World culture, all we do is travel. At the table breaking bread with Italians. Got a whole bunch of bitches doing values. Make a song every day, got a thousand. Got a whole bunch of trophies and medallions. Been a mother man before the money. Got another 100 grand, but who's counting? Whoa, winning, wrong. I was 19 with the homies going around the globe. About 75K, now to put me for a show. Can't see me when they standing on their toes.
Goddamn. Look up. Goddamn. Look up.
It is healthy. Actually, it was like one of the first things you mentioned, just saying after being here for 2 years, you could just accept where things were. You weren't going checking and see what the comments were. You sounded comfortable in that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it because it's like it's okay to enjoy what you're doing, and I think we live in this world where like, and I'd fall into it where like self-deprecation is such like a
not default.
Right. It's like, you know, it's like the thing, not only for comedic purposes, which is like great comedy, but some of my favorite actually, but just as like a way of living. And I think it's like people become uncomfortable with someone who's not self-deprecating.
Mm. Totally. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so but I think it's okay. I think it's okay to spend time on both sides. I think if you're always feeling yourself, I don't trust that, you know, because that's not true. And if you're always self-deprecating, I mean, that's very real. That's like, but I don't think either are healthy.
Yeah. How'd you get to a point of being more balanced and
walking outside, realizing how small you are, you know? And which is like, which sounds like something that is, it sounds like something that's a negative thought, you know, like, oh, I'm so small, none of this matters. But it actually is more of like a weight lift and freedom. Like every word I say doesn't shift the world into, you know what I'm saying? It's like if I make a bad song, like, the world's not ruined, you know. my world's not ruined, you know. It's like I can
see the comic book.
Yeah. But you can just go and it is just a really like liberating feeling of like, it's like liberating to realize you have the freedom to make mistakes. You have you have the time, you know, regardless of how long or short your time is. Like pretty much anything you decide to do is okay because you're so small.
Do you think that the younger generation has that, do they walk with that sort of freedom, or do you think that they feel more worthless?
Is he the younger generation?
Well, you are to me. I mean,
yeah. We're okay. Millennials are the...
Just making sure.
Are we the younger generation? Millennials?
Technically.
Okay, hey, I'll take it. You know, I see it as like, I guess it's hard to speak in absolutes of like what everyone feels, but I guess the people that I know, and I'm not even just talking about artists, just people in general, just have this like very open-mindedness of like the world's at my fingertips type, you know, thinking, where it's like you see more people now that's like, that want to make a website that's like self-expression. They want to like have a blog. They want to give the world their thoughts, and it's like a therapeutic thing. So I think everyone I think now feels like their voice like means something, or they wouldn't be putting it everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. People put their voice everywhere, all through Instagram comments, you know, and it's like minuscule and kind of stupid as that is, it's like at the same time it's dope. People really feel like I have to say something, you know, which is like sometimes a little much, but hey, go ahead, man, speak away.
Yeah.
Do you think it's more than a coincidence that you and Q and Earl all hit like a level of like development around about the same time?
Well, I don't believe in coincidence. Really, not to be like, but okay. But no, I don't, you know. I mean, I think like that everybody hanging out and playing music and making music and creating together was and is a beautiful thing, you know, like that has affected everybody. And I don't think it's any, like, just like you look at everyone not to make you sound old here, but everyone in his time.
I can take it.
But like, it's like the same, it's the same type of things, you know, like with the native tongues and like all these people who are just around each other and pushing each other, whether it's in the studio together or from afar, you know, because like we all are friends. And now that everyone's touring, it's not like we all three-way call each other, but it's like you, like, you know, like Tebe put something out or Q put something out, I was like, okay, all right. And, you know, it's like you want to, it's like a little friendly, like just pushing each other, being happy for each other. That's a good thing. But no, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think the world needed it, or else it wouldn't have happened, I guess.
I needed it.
Hey, I needed it too.
In the 2 years that you were away, because you say you're back.
Right.
In creating the record, did you have like a definite vision in that that time away that you wanted to attack and reach?
I think that was a difficult thing for me, was to find what I wanted the vision to be. Because there were moments where I just wanted to go so far left, right, and like really far down the rabbit hole and make like this album that was like just really weird. You know, not weird for the sake of being weird, but weird in the sense that if I played it for your everyday person, they wouldn't really like get it, right?
Mm-hmm. Why? Like, what would that sound like?
It was just like... You heard some records off of that when it was there. Like, it was really musical. It was very, like, storytelling. It was, like, had heavier, little like, I mean, some songs were sadder, but it was just, like, telling like maybe sadder stories,
you maybe know? Like alone type stuff,
right? More insular.
Where
this album ended up being something that I think resonates a little bit more on first listen, and a lot of it was because I wanted to perform it. Like, I wanted to be able to throw this album on and like everyone jump around, you know. The other one was more like a seated performance, you know? So I think it just took me a while to just be comfortable with that and to be like artistically get that album to a quality that I was okay with. You know, because like going very musical and deep in your storytelling, and doing all of these really like almost like orchestral things are like, that's like, yeah, quality, I can okay this one, but getting that one to like a next quality takes a little longer.
I think the album's dope. I mean, I like the other music that I heard. That I definitely hope you, I don't know what you're gonna do.
It'll come
you
out.
Played me a few things actually, and you were like, I'm working on three albums at one time, and I was like, my brain would be hurting.
I know.
Because I get to those moments where I'm just like, start a project, and I'm like, yep, just another project. And people right. are like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, my head's on. But the three pieces were so different and like well in their own space.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was just like really impressed.
Thank you, man.
The way that you work and you put things together. Lyrically, you've mentioned in a couple of different places on this record about being alone and no one really caring.
Yeah.
Is that like second, third person, or is that first person?
It's probably a mix of all of them. I mean, I think like that's, I guess there's that fear of like, you know, if you release music and no one hears it, did you release music? You know? Or like, if it doesn't move anybody, like, I think there's like a fear of that. I think there was a fear during making this album that, because so much of my work had been me making it for me, that I forgot that I was making music to touch people, you know? So I think that was like a mind state I created for myself, which was like, you know, I'm making this album for myself. I'm making this album for myself. And then I get to the point where I'm trying to put it together and I realize that it's for more than myself. Mm. Like, its purpose is bigger than me. So, yeah, I think that was like a, that was part of the fear of everything.
Mm. How do you know that its purpose is bigger than you?
Two reasons. One, just from like just connecting with fans. And like, I think probably like the coolest thing that music has ever done is there's like this collection of people, you know, like it's not like believers or these really huge world fan bases, but it's like a group of kids that I like stay in touch with that like were super loners from what I gather, and they have like kind of found each other and formed like a real friendship.
Beautiful.
Which is super dope to me, you know, like, and I just like have gotten letters from them and stuff like that. So, you know, that's like, it helps when you know that your music is helping people. And then,
but does it also make you feel less alone?
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, but actually, no. it actually, I think, adds to it because you're
the boss.
Well, you're making this music, and now your music is touching people, and it's a part of you, but it's not you.
Okay.
So these kids are being helped by the art that is created, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it like, you start looking at it, and you're like, okay, well, that's not even me. You don't know me, you know? Like, let me try and think about the people that are actually in my life, you know, like, who I actually know. So, like, it becomes that separation. And I think the second thing is why I know that it's for other people is because I think about what music I, like, fan of did for me, you know, and then like putting myself, like replacing myself with like who I was a fan of is like mind blowing, because you're like, no way, there's no way that someone could look at me like I look at artists that I love, and people do, I guess. Hey,
yeah,
it's a blessing.
That happened to you?
It happens all the time, and it's a weird place, because I don't walk around. I walk around like I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And like, it's me. I'm just me. I'm a kid from Brooklyn. Like,
right.
Find myself in places. I'm like, why you want me here? Like, you know, but, and then when people come up to me, I still have this very humble, like, I'm really appreciative of the love. And even like 25 years later, it's like, that's a trip to think about. You know, that you've affected people that way, and it's like real emotions that they carry.
Yeah.
And so, but I still don't connect with the way they're feeling. I hear it, and my conscious understands it, but to really be like, really?
Like, yeah. Like, I got a tribe. I got a Tribe Called Quest tattoo.
You do? Where?
Yeah, on my arm.
Let me see.
Beats Rhymes in Life. Yep.
That's wild.
Yeah,
I don't even have a Tribe Called Quest out here.
We can arrange that, but no. I think about like when I see, you know, people or meet people like Stevie Wonder, and I'm just like, you know, like, oh my God,
yeah.
Like, you have no idea what you've done for me, and you know, so same thing that you're talking about.
I want to ask you something about something that you called it in the Breakfast Club interview. You said there were like three demons, kind of.
Okay.
And one of them, the way you phrased it was, what being a white rapper means to my life. And I was thinking about that when you're talking about thinking too much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was definitely a huge one.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just...
What do you mean, like, it means to my life?
I'll say what being white means to being a rapper.
Okay.
that was like a huge thought of mine.
It was a worry.
It was a feeling of just like, you know, like obviously I like was reading a lot at that time of like how you're how you're looked at, B, the reality of the fact that a white rapper probably is more marketable in America. At least that's, you know, like I had a shorter span to like
ascent.
Yeah, ascent. Like I like, and then I saw all these kids sprouting up too. Like here's Lil Timmy selling 10,000 records, you know, and so I think for me it was like I didn't want shortcuts, you know. I wasn't in control of that. So for me it was a big demon because I don't want anything I don't deserve. I don't want anything I didn't work for. I don't want to be ahead of anybody because of
other people's prejudice.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but then you realize, right, that I am white. That will never change. So like, I can't wake up in the morning and not want to go to work because I'm white. You know, all I can do is be as knowledgeable about the craft that I do and also just know myself that I work hard. You know, that I think for me that was a big hump to get over, though, was like being okay with it. Because to me, it's like I don't listen to a bunch of white rappers. You know what I mean? It's like but there are, you know. I don't think I'm a white rapper. I'm a rapper.
I don't listen to whack rappers.
Right. Well, there you go.
I'm just...
Right. I think that was the confidence I had to hit. Really was like, I'm not here because I'm white. I'm here because I'm tight. Wow. I did not mean to say that. Oh my God. That was horrible. That was so
embarrassing
bad.
For everybody.
That was so bad. That was so bad. Like, wow. But no, like, it's like, that was the great. Please let that be the full quote. I'm not here because I'm white. I'm here because I'm tight. No, but I'm just saying, I think the realization that it's not about me being a white rapper, it's about me being a good rapper. No, I think that was a realization and like a confidence thing that I had to hit. You know, I had to be like, confidence is huge in rapping. You know, you gotta know you're nice to do it. You can't second guess if you're nice.
To perform in front of two people that have their backs to you.
Right, you gotta, but like, that's the thing is at one point, I didn't ever question if I was nice or not. When I was doing freestyle competitions and no one knew who I was, I was like, I would spit up against anybody, it didn't matter. 35, I don't care. And then I think I just read too much. I started thinking like, dang, is that really? Was I wrong this whole time? I'm just white, that's it.
I asked my nephew, who's now 20, but a couple years ago I asked him, because my nephew was born in New Jersey as a preemie, and then my sister hauled him off to LA. So
yeah,
he's twisted in the head because he's like, I'm an East Coast kid, but raised entirely in Los Angeles, and he connects with the lifestyle here because he doesn't really know anything else, but in his heart he's like East Coast. But I asked him, you know, every now and then, like, who you feeling? And so a couple of years ago I asked him who was his favorite rapper, and he said Mac Miller, straight up, bar none. And I just looked and I was like, dope, you know. And I'm always asking him, you know, why. He's like, And he just started running down. Did you listen to it? And I'm like, all right, nephew. It made me feel good that he connects with lyricists and artists with depth.
Yeah.
you know?
Yo, I'm fucking zooted right now in the fucking bathroom, dog. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm just recording this shit because I feel like I got so much fucking shit to say. And, like, you know what I'm saying? This is the only way that I'm gonna get it out.
Yeah. Can I get the little bit of reverb on my voice? I'm trying to hide from something I just don't know what. Oh, it's not sad, baby. You know? Yeah, I saw a mountain, you know, across the horizon. And I got there, realized it was just a pile of rocks. Yeah, so goddamn, I wonder. Yeah, and everybody hoped that this song is not pressing as the last one was. Heaven smelled like Nag Champa, so come here, darling, ash my blunt. Waiting on hallucination, ain't a single fact I trust. Dear family, my sanity, go down when my cash go up. Rap too much, how the fuck I get through the verse? I came from house parties, find a bitch and go through her purse. All I need is a little good pussy and a whole lot of universe. I'm at God forever, stepping to a church, and that motherfucker still owe me money. Oh, I need a religion to follow. I swear to God that I got more problems than there is bitches in Carlo. Lord have mercy, Elago. Yeah. How the fuck I'm supposed to look into my parents' eyes when I'm scared to die? My eyes same color as a cherry pie. Whoa, it's young terrified. Crucifix heavy, who gon' carry mine? Yeah. What's with all this talk about hell and Satan? It's sleep deprivation. It's planet Earth and my hell's a basement.
Everything just takes time. Mm-hmm. I think by nature I'm a pretty impatient person in certain aspects where it's like, you know, like, when I see something, like, that's kind of the nature of the beast is, like, that's what I want. Okay, well, I'm going to sit here and work until I'm there, you know? So, like, that's why I go kind of 0 to 100 on things. Like, I'm either not doing it or I'm doing it way too much. And then it's, like, so I think I had to learn patience to let the depth build, because you don't have depth with one, you know what I'm saying? You just gotta let it happen. You can't rush to have people know all of the facets of your capabilities, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. It's okay. Like, and so now when people are like, oh, he's just this, I'm not like, it's like I jump on Twitter and I'm like, no, I'm not. You know what I mean? It's like, it's cool that people, you know, take their time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, people are outsiders. You know, I mean, there's, like you said, there's a piece of your art that you're creating that it is you, so you give it to them, but it's just a moment, you know? And, like, one of the things that I find, especially I could say this after doing it for 25 years, I'm like, I totally understand why you connect with that song in that moment, but, like, that for me was really 25 years ago. So it's like, you know, I'm like so not there.
Right.
And even if it, you know, weren't that long of a span, you know, it could just be 2 years. It's like, well, that was just that way I was feeling at that moment in time. And now this is where I am. And
yeah,
you kind of, maybe you're holding me to that. I don't know if we do that with other people as we do with artists, but,
Oh, we definitely do that with artists.
Yeah, I mean,
you gotta know, like, man, this is like, once you fall in love with an emotion an artist gives you, you never want them to give you another emotion again, but they can never give you that emotion again because it only represents the time it took place. You know, like, it's like if you make this from a 3 month period of your life, and you put it out, and people gravitate towards it. Then for the rest of your life and career, they're like, but we want that. And you're like, I'm sorry, I actually am, it's impossible for me to be back in those 3 months. And I would never want to go back there because it just, like, it happened.
Well, you mentioned love. So speaking of love, can you talk about ROS?
Yeah.
Pretty vulnerable sounding song there.
Yeah, when I played it for Kelly for the first time, she was like, I was like, what'd you think? She was like, it's honest. No, I mean, I've had an on and off again girlfriend for about six years or so. So earlier this year, 2000, whatever time that was, we were going through a pretty, just a different, let's just call it a different patch. And that song was a song I made. And it's funny because I actually made it in two different moments. The intro I made after we were kind of like back together, but like just starting to get back together. And then the song was when we weren't. But yeah, people, I mean, I'm pretty, I always have one of those on every album that are like the...
Yeah, I think that's why you have so many female fans.
That's just a very...
Not that female fans are different from male fans. I'm just saying it's helpful.
Well I was going to ask, and knowing that you do that, do you make that for you? Do you make that for the person to hear, you know, how they made you feel? Do you make that for the fans?
I'd say, I'd say, I think I make it for the conversation between me and her, you know. I think it's like, maybe I'm not the best at communicating in real life. So, like, that's how I communicate, you know what I mean? So, I remember, like, during times where it was, like, the reverse, where, like, she was, like, you know, like, what's going on, da-da-da-da-da. And I'd be like, you know how I feel about you, listen to track 7.
Oh, my God.
Where, you really didn't do that.
No, I did. For sure. I mean, like, I would have a song, or be like, what do you mean? Like, listen to this song, you know, where like, you know, where this song was more like, wait, listen quick. You know.
I mean, side note, talk to me if you need a little help in the communication.
I mean, we're a lot better.
Because you're so good at communicating.
Actually, I'm okay. I'm not gonna say I'm great, but.
Oh, it's part of the growing process. I mean, I will say this, that song was made during a point where we were the most, like, probably disconnected that we had been, you know? Where, like, all these other songs that I've made about the relationship is where we're super close and, like, bumping heads maybe, or just everything's good. But that song was, like, the, like, almost nostalgic to the emotion. You know, like, it was kind of gone, so you're like, you want it rather than like you're in it, you know. Like, I wasn't getting the phone answered all the time. Hey, it happens, but I got it back, you know what I mean? We're good.
It makes for good art.
Hell yeah, dude.
Over and over and over again.
And I think it's good. I think it's just important to be honest. Because, I mean, it's not like, if you're honest about everything, some things are a little bit more exaggerated. I remember we used to get into fights because she used to be like, so you're, because I used to always say, yeah, babe, in the music, I'm telling the truth about everything. Except when I talk about girls. And she'd be like, I just don't really buy that. But yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I'm, like I said, we've been on and off. So, like, I've, like, you know, I've been with women before in 6 years. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
okay, so, glad that's on the record.
Well,
Just saying, it's
your number one music. The number one relationship is with music, and so you know, that's that. Everyone else has to just accept that.
Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? Just want to ask you a question. Have you been in love before?
You like your vodka with a little touch of lime. You should probably take your heels off, 'cause you've been running through my mind. Oh, baby. They say we're no good for each other. I can't really tell. What is this spell you put me under? Your love's not too kind to me. I hate the pain these days of rain. You playing games of hide and seek my love. And I'm still trying to find you. I'm looking for you, babe. And I'm still trying to find you. Through sunshine or rain.
I love you.
Yeah, you got your stained glass iris. Diamond behind your eyelids, a little pilot fly. My heart skip a beat like a scratch CD. Your skin smell like butterscotch and your lips taste like kiwi. Let's take a plane to Fiji, make a date, let's take it easy. Love is power, swear there's something about her that make me nervous. Mother Earth done gave us all a gift, she made you perfect. Let's eat some and go to the circus. Girl, you know I'm loving you just like you deserve it. So baby, make me earn it. Show me the way you work it. Tell me what you afraid of. I'll spit you my favorite verses. Let's just go take a breath. I want it all. Every ounce of love that you got left. You are my drug and love to death. Feel free to fall. You are a catch. I'm in your heart. I'm in your dream. So f*** the world. It's you and me. She is the only one that got away. If a love don't last forever, then forever ain't the same. Yeah.
It's like, oh, phew. Yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, but she gets it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've both had our time apart. So, like, I'm going to be honest about everything. There's not, there, that's part of what helps me to make the music I make. There's a part of me that's super honest, and then there's a part that, like, is a little maybe exaggerates to put myself as, like, this superhero I see myself as, maybe.
I know we gotta go. It's like, I still have several more questions.
Yes, no, kind of, maybe, and most of the time.
Well, the last one's about festival.
Okay.
You say we don't have no order or new world. So what is a world without order? And to me, it sounds like a funeral song, by the way.
It is. The festival was, some reason I'm like obsessed with albums ending in death. I don't know why. And it's not even necessarily a negative, sad thing. But I guess to me, an album is just a life, like it's like a mini lifetime. So the festival was actually like supposed to be Yukimi from Little Dragon. It's supposed to be God welcome me into heaven. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think like that's kind of what we were talking about earlier, how this generation is less inclined to do what is told to be the right thing. Mm-hmm. And more just like what they feel, which there's pros and cons. Sometimes people are correct. Correct and incorrect, I guess, is about a feeling of what the dude's opinion. But, you know, people do what they feel. So sometimes, in my opinion, it brings positive things, and sometimes it brings negative things. But it's just kind of like living in this chaos of, mm-hmm. like, everyone kind of really like following their heart, which is pretty dope when people have good hearts, I guess.
There it is.
Well, hopefully you can come back because...
Oh, yeah.
You've had a long, I should say, sort of short career, but you've done a lot in a little bit of time. And a lot of people, I don't think, work that hard. And
it's
so much that you've done, you know, inside of your own artist career and touching and helping others and you know. And so I want to be able to talk about just more in depth. Don't say anytime.
For real, anytime. The only person you got it, the only gatekeeper is that guy in the blue hat.
I got his number.
No, you guys are good to us. But no, we definitely, like, you know, you're loved. And because you've done, again, you've done a lot. And with your age, I think there's more of a conversation to be had and that people will feel differently. Like, they feel your music, but I just, you know, from you as a person and your perspective and what you've seen and come up against in the music business and, you know, things that may have excited you or even disappointed you. Like, I have questions, yo. Like, we haven't scratched the
surface. You don't got the answers, Mac.
So we'd love to have you come back.
Oh, yeah. And I would love to.
That'd be tight. We should do it. Let's do it.
Let's go. Hey, man, I got a couple. I'm not done talking. I got more to say.
You have listeners. Thank you for coming to check us. Want to hear more stories after you've toured more on Gunnium.
This tour will have some stories.
Oh, gosh.
All right, cool.
Word, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it a little more beat. Yeah. God, if she believe in me, and will she accept me as a deity and tell me the secrecy won't keep her free? I'm sleeping, won't dream until the demons leave. I took a nap beneath the tree in the shade for the sharpness of the swords and blades of grass. Picturing the images that make you laugh. I left you out to die, but will you take me back? Somewhere in between the crazy and the conscious. She's naked underneath them shadows. Let the sunlight undress her slow. I don't know who I am. I'm so good at doing impressions, though. I'm going to the festival. You need to let me go. I wake up, have a couple Benadryls, go back to sleep, so I'm made up. Everything they said was real. It has to be, cause actually the master fast asleep in the castle's back in his private quarters. That's a master for you, this a revolution. We don't have no order. All this torture, thought I had to warn you. Leave it all behind and go to California. I'm past the signs, it's the real thing. Try analyzing this feeling. You can't fathom.
Drown. Oh, look, the nation planet in